Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 13.5.
Ooh, our spooky.
Spooky reviews.
Spooky special. I feel like I'm the only one who's stuck with spooky.
Yeah,
so,
you really are.
So I'm going to go with cat spooky.
I read Hack and Slash, you know.
Hack slash.
God.
Okay, so, well, how about you start us out, Kat, since you got some spooky things.
I do have spooky things.
Spooky.
So, I picked up the DC House of Horror. It's a one-shot. It's like $10, and honestly, I'd say pick it up. It's still worth the $10.
Yeah.
So, like, the first story in it, I was like, alright, I hope this isn't like the rest of them, because I'm going to be really pissed if I just wasted $10. But then I read further into it, and I was like, nah, this is great.
There's some all-star creators on that book.
Well, I was honestly really surprised because the quote-unquote rating on this is rated teen plus, and I'm just like, I feel like this is more of a mature audience.
Really?
There's so much blood and gore in this one. So much. Like,
I like that. There's
so much. But like the my favorite story in here surprisingly wasn't the one that had an Wonder Woman in it.
Okay.
Actually, I guess there was two. There was one with Batman, but it was one of the ones where he's like, it's kind of like a split persona, and oh, it's so good.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin it for people, but it's so good. And then there's not just zombies, which of course I was really happy about, because
right.
I'm kind of a little done and over with all the zombie bullcrap. Of course there is a zombie one in there, but
they
don't necessarily say it's zombies, but I'm like, dude, it's zombies.
Yeah.
So I thought that, honestly, like, for the $10, like, I kind of walked away with a good deal, because, like, there's, like, a bunch of, like, they're short, like, like, three or four pages short.
Oh, cool.
So, like, you're through a few of them relatively quickly. I mean, they've got Superman in it, they've got Wonder Woman, they've got The Flash, they've got Green Lantern, Batman's in, like, a few of them.
Shazam. Shazam, sorry.
all of us over here are like, yes, of course.
So, like, in my opinion, for the $10 that I spent, like, totally worth it. Like, the art in here is beautiful, and just, like, the stories they're super short, and the only one that I was left, like, I want more because I feel like this doesn't have an end to it, is the Shazam one, and that was really the only one I was like, really? But I mean, the Wonder Woman one was great. Like, there's evil spirits, there's like a zombie virus in one of them. I believe there's like, you know, insane, like you're crazy insane. There's evil possessions, there's a creepy Harley Quinn ghost that's like,
oh,
still
that's
has
awesome
humor in it, which is weird because considering what I'm reading, I'm like giggling and I'm like, wait, this is awful. Yeah, it's definitely a horror piece. Like, if you are under, I mean, I guess ask your parents, but
yeah,
there's definitely quite a bit of gore in here, so.
Cool. Sounds pretty exciting.
Read it. Seriously, it's great.
Cool.
So, what do you have for us, Nat?
I actually finally was able to pick up one of the Dark Knight's metal tie-ins, because they've been very hard to get a hold of. But I got Batman the Merciless, and I was really excited about this one, more because it centers around Wonder Woman's universe, and it had art by Francis Monopole.
I mean, honestly, it just looks like the cover of, like, a metal CD, so that's why I'm kind of
so good. I don't know. Are we video recording
right
now?
Yeah.
This is probably not going to come through. It's probably just going to be like a huge glare, but anyway. This was great. So one of the weird things about, and a buddy of the show and a buddy of mine, Keith, was talking about the fact that these metal tie-ins, these one-shots, are really aspects of Batman if you remove somebody or a group of people that are important to him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Batman when you remove Wonder Woman from the equation.
Every time you say Batman metal, I just want to start, like, headbanging.
Right? It's like, metal. So, it's something about that, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this is the idea that what happens if Batman loses Wonder Woman in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And It's a really, really great.
That's what those tie-ins were. I mean, I haven't read them yet, so far
it's
behind.
It's coming out that way. Like, it's starting to be, oh, wait a minute. This is what happens when he doesn't have the Robins. This is what happens when Alfred dies. So all of them have these different aspects. And they're different Earths.
I actually am really excited to read the first one I got, then the Flash one. Because I want to know.
That's the Robins.
Oh, really?
Yes. But so in this, Ares ends up having, like, a new super powerful helmet that basically makes him an even more powerful god of war. And so he goes, he basically has a global wide war, and Batman and Diana are at the front lines together. And
of course, just Wonder Woman.
And this is supposedly animated series inspired. Mm-hmm. So there's the hint that Wonder Woman and Batman were a couple, like they were together, which I always love that. To me, it seems the most logical. If you're going to have Wonder Woman with a man, I like the idea of somebody that she looks at and says, oh, you're just a man, but you choose to do all these things. This is very, like, altruistic. And
we'll get into that later.
I've always thought that
we always fight about this.
Yes, Superman is a terrible choice. Anyway,
shut up. No one asked you!
But this is gorgeous work. Batman steals the helm, and as one would think, it turns him into a super dark version of Batman and exploring the idea of letting all of these villains live is the wrong decision. And he starts with Ares, and that's Ares' head that he's carrying around with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's Batman with the Wonder Woman, like, armor, or logo on his armor?
With Ares' helm that has morphed into Batwings because of who's wearing it. So
naturally.
Yeah, it's a really, really great one-off story. It's the what happens when the Merciless arrives in Gotham in our world.
So it's basically, like, they're all of the Merciless' backstories of who they, like, what they are.
Yep, it's each of the Dark Knights. And this one is gorgeous. Monopoly's artwork, he is phenomenal.
It looks pretty just from, like, me sitting over here and like, trying to stare at it, but not stare at it too closely because I want to read it.
it's great. And then there's a big reveal at the end.
Ooh, no spoilers. Ooh, no spoilers.
Exactly. Yeah. there's a big spoiler in the last page that makes the whole thing, it breaks your heart. So, great book. Definitely pick it up. And, yeah, that's what I got right now.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to try to do three semi-quickly. So first off, I got Samurai Jack, Quantum Jack.
This is issue number 2, right?
Yeah, this is issue number 2, written by Fabian Rangel Jr. and art by Warwick Johnson Cadwell. This issue is basically like a luchador match the whole time, and then he like gets transported somewhere else at the end. I think this is going to be more of like an episodic one-shot deal, which, that's all I have to say about that.
It's always depressing when I hear that about something that has been like such an iconic piece.
Because I love Samurai Jack, and the only reason I picked it up is because like I love it so much.
So I can honestly say,
hold on. I feel like the story is that Samurai Jack's consciousness is traveling through realms and like trying to figure out where it's supposed to be. Because in the first one, it was a much darker version of the future that he was in before.
Yeah.
This one, he is now a luchador. So I think it's like post, like actually traveling through time. Maybe this is the beginning of the story, like the beginning of Samurai Jack. So as he's traveling through things, I think there's a lot to be said about what will happen at the end of all of these put together.
Yeah, I'm still interested to see where it goes and if it all ties in together. So up next I got Moon Girl and question mark because she gave up Devil Dinosaur and it was the most beautiful friendship in the world.
I haven't read it, so my tears would be fake. I don't do crocodile tears, people. I am a real person.
I went to acting classes, so I might just do crocodile tears.
So basically this is, it's kind of like the Thor, honestly, in a way, because it's written by Brandon Montclair, but it has three different artists in it doing three different short stories, or four different artists, I guess, in total. Right? Four different artists in total doing, because she's looking for new partners. She knows, like, she's a 9-year-old girl, so, like, she knows that she you know, needs, like, not, God damn it, Kat, not like that.
But she needs it like that either.
She needs,
like, someone. I don't want to pair myself with a 9-year-old girl when I'm, like, a superhero, okay? It's weird.
But she's the smartest person in the universe. She just needs, like, some muscle. You know, she's the brains and she needs muscle. So first we got, like, baby X-Men.
That's awesome.
In, like, a weird, like, alternate, the Mojoverse, basically. Next we have her with Ghost Rider.
Hell yeah. I like this idea a lot.
And, they're basically starts off with, like, three different Ghost Riders, like, having a street race.
Are you kidding me? Do we have Catch in there? Is Danny Catch in this? No, he's not.
But, like, Ghost Rider crashes his motorcycle, and Moon Girl gives him her, like, skate shoes. So we have, like, some flaming, like rollerblades that Ghost Rider is
riding. That's amazing.
And she got a gay joke in there. Honestly, I will find it.
Yeah. But there's, like, a great part in here where she's like, where it's like, good thing you have small feet. And he's like, hey, my feet are just skeletons. So, you know, it's like, whatever. And then in the last one, she goes to Daredevil for some legal reasons that come up earlier in the issue.
That's awesome.
And then, like, she's walking away and the hand attacks her for no good reason and Daredevil comes out of nowhere and he's like, oh wow, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this as a 9-year-old kid. And she's like, well, like, why are ninjas attacking me? Like, that's your bag. Like, if anything, they were here after you. And also, I didn't ask for help, and I totally beat the ninjas anyway. So, like, and he's like, we would have made a great team if we had worked. And she's just like, I don't care. I didn't ask you. And then in the end, it's...
I enjoy the sheer amount of attitude, Matt.
Yeah, and then in the end, it's the Thing and the Human Torch, so we're going to get a Fantastic Three.
Interesting.
Now,
I was going to say there may have been a play on four artists, like a Fantastic Four artists. Ooh.
Yeah. I was going to talk a little bit about Shirtless Bear Fighter. I believe this is number 5. But I think I'm running a little on time here. And it's great. I just picked up this volume. Apparently it's the last one.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a short story. I didn't know that. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. The amount of bear puns and, like, grotesquely large blurred out penises is just amazing. It's hilarious in every aspect.
I can't even say that.
I also specifically love how the city that they're fighting in is literally called Major City.
That's awesome.
So, that's my review of Shirtless Bear Fighter number 5.
Alright. Kat, what do you got next?
I guess I've got some, we could do some hack slash resurrection.
Watcha!
I would have to say, like, just reading this first issue, Cassie Hack is my hero. I just have to say, this woman lives the life I can kind of dream of. So, one of the quotes is, I never put pants on anymore, just so you know, you can consider this a date. And I was like, will you marry me? Because,
and she also says that to a zombie as
to a zombie as she's, like, just, like, hurriedly putting pants on, which I'm like, and honestly, like, you can ask my friends. I'm like, oh, I guess I gotta put some pants on. I'll be there in, like, 15 minutes. And then, I mean, one night my friend was surprised because I was wearing pants, so, you know.
That's hilarious.
So, the fact is, like, I can relate on, like, quite a good level. I mean, she also has a cat, so there's that.
Right? Yeah, that is true. And she brings
the cat with her.
She cares about the cat more than she does most people.
Like I said, I can relate. It's probably, I will admit it, I can totally relate.
Looking at you, flipping through this, the artwork is really good in this book.
Honestly, just reading this first one makes me want to go get the other issues and read them. Because now I'm curious to, like, why she has the attitude that she has in, like, the beginning of this, because it gives you, like, a short blurb, and it gives you everything that you need to know, which I can totally appreciate, because I haven't read it, so they made it easy for somebody who's never read it to get into it.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. Like, the opening was great. I mean, like I said, I was slightly confused, because I didn't really read the original, so I don't understand her backstory as much.
Right.
But even for not reading the original, I was still, like, I'm getting the second issue of this.
they hit a lot of horror movie tropes in this one issue, too. And I'm like, okay, so if this is what's played out in the rest of the series, I'm really intrigued by what
I'm
they
just
can
saying,
be done.
When she said twin mates, I was like, I love you.
That's
like,
really cool.
I mean, her bat says kiss it. Like, I don't even know. Like,
I didn't pick that up. That's amazing.
Like, yeah. Read it, Matt. It's great. Like,
that's hilarious. Kiss it.
It's just, it's a good show. It's a good show. It's a good one. Like, just, like, I know that there's gotta be some kind of symbolism with some of the art in here, and just because I haven't read the other one, I can't connect it very well. But I would say, even if you haven't read the other issues, like I haven't, I would say pick it up, because this is great. I mean, she spends like the first half of the issue without pants on, talking to a cat. I'm like, if I don't relate to this.
Yeah. There's like a bit of like the funny, like the sexy girl stereotype too. Mm-hmm. Like she's literally walking around in a tank top and panties, but it's like, it's her being like, oh God, life is so stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not glorifying all of that. The shots are probably glorifying things, but
yeah,
I think you get an ass shot
at least every other
page. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing, is that's like another horror movie trope.
Right, exactly.
In itself, with those shots. So like,
well, if she's the final girl, then it implies also that she's the virgin. In
yeah,
the
right.
Wow. So it's like,
if Cabin in the Woods taught us anything,
right, exactly. Good movie.
That is a really good movie. You know, I read it. I'm not too big of a horror fan in general, so I guess the story didn't appeal to me that much. But I do have to agree with you. She is an amazing character.
Right. Yeah.
Like I said, that quote, I'm pretty sure I'm going to live my life. Like, there will be moments where I will probably quote that and be like, just so you know, I don't really wear pants, so you could consider this a date.
That's awesome.
And I will say that to friends. But I mean, I don't like horror movies, but horror genres on like paper, great. So I'm like sold on this. I'm like, here's my money, take it. Let's continue on and have more fun.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would definitely suggest it.
Awesome. Cool. What do you got for us next, Matt?
I have Maestros number one. It's from Image Comics. It's written and illustrated by Steve Skros, with color by Dave Stewart. This, I want to read the second issue, but I feel kind of dirty reading this book. There's
like, I love those.
Yeah,
like I walk out of like Barnes and Noble feeling slightly guilty sometimes, and I'm like, oh man, they know what I'm reading.
This is like Harry Potter if Harry was 30 years old and a pervert and kind of a dick.
So everybody in this generation,
right? Yeah, exactly. It's a super violent, overly sexualized, magical world where the Maestros, which would be sort of like the equivalent to gods and then magic wielders at the same time. So it's like all of our stories about gods are actually about like the Maestros. Hmm. And there is this man who is a Maestro. His father was basically the king of all of them, and his mother kept him away from the world, though. Like, has taken him out of it. But now that all of the Maestros are dead, he needs to come back to defeat the big bads. But we get into his backstory, and him as a chubby teenager finding out that he's actually the...
Does he have chubby teenager complex?
Yeah, and he walks in on his dad and his mom reuniting after some time. So yeah, there's like a bit of holy shit, what is going on right here? Yeah, it's beautiful.
Good for her.
It's, yeah, right. Exactly.
Exactly.
She's like, yeah, I'm into it.
Walking
only right
on
now.
Your parents' magical coitus.
That's what he said too.
Yeah. Oh God.
It's so magical.
Navigating discussion about this book is very difficult. I'm just gonna say
just seeing the one page I saw, it's super difficult.
It is
okay. I think we're all old enough to.
Well, this is fun in the magical world, is taking people and exploding them from the inside out.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, like, fun, you know.
Right?
Fun for the whole family.
Yeah, yeah. This is definitely not a book for kids.
No!
But, it plays on the tropes, too. Like, look at the wizard robe with the stars and everything. But
like, the pointy hat.
Right.
You know, wizard, like, goatee-style beard and stuff.
What, so, a pointy wizard hat?
Right. I want an armored pointy wizard hat. That's dope.
Oh,
you can own a pointy wizard hat. I mean, no one's stopping you.
But I'm Robin right now.
Ultimately, I actually really did enjoy this. I don't usually read stuff that is that adult in its content, and so it's a little rough for me to go through.
Yeah, I don't normally talk about those things anyways, like, especially even if I do read them, so right. I totally get it.
But, and it's not, like... it's really trying to portray a negative culture, I think, in this.
If it's not, then I'm thoroughly shocked.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see, like, the whole story of him growing up and learning magic and then being kicked out or being removed from it. But I kind of dug it. I definitely want to read issue 2.
Interesting. Awesome. Right. Well, next I have...
Patrick's going to depress us all, mostly.
Yeah.
I know, right? So if you've been enjoying it so far, you might as well just stop the podcast right here because it's about to get really
heavy.
Just
take like a 10-minute... Take like a... I don't know.
Come back in four... Four or five minutes.
Okay. I will talk about something that...
So, in a different vein of horror, we have Bitch Planet Triple Feature.
God, the triple features are so bad.
Dude, the triple features... are amazing. They're what got me into these comics. Unfortunately, this will be the last triple feature, and then they'll go back into the main story arc. So, the first one, it's a great play on the classic. It's called Everyone's Grandma's a Little Bit Feminist. And it's this guy, or this granddaughter bringing home a guy for Christmas, and the grandma's like, I remember back in the day when we used to be allowed to go to college and do all this stuff, and like, at one point, like, hit, like, the guy, the guy, like, slaps her ass and is like, hey, go get me, like, a drink or whatever, and the grandma's, like, cracking walnuts, and she's like, if a guy ever did that to me, I'd take this nutcracker to him and see what I could do, and then, so, like, she's doing this, and then, like...
Like, on just, like, not even just, like, on a female level, and then, like, on top of it, like, part of it might just be the fact that I'm also a lesbian, but, like, the thought of some dude slapping my ass, honestly, even if a female did that to me, like, slap me on the ass, like, hey, baby, go get me a drink, I'd be like,
I know, get away but the best part about this is, like,
disrespectful, on such a fun.
The best part about this issue is, like, the granddaughter, like, she's, like, talking to her grandma, like, one-on-one, and she's like, grandma, goddammit, like, I love him so much, why are you doing this? And the grandma's like, well, do you really love him that much? Is he the one? Like, would you say any? And she's like, yes, yes, and she gives, like, this big speech, and the grandma's just says, what a goddamn disappointment you turned out to be.
Wow. Yeah, I have to.
And then she gets sent off to the Bitch Planet Geriatric Ward.
That's awesome. I have to say something about this, too. Elsa Chatelier, I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Yeah.
Her art is very reminiscent to Batman the Animated Series. So I want you to picture what Patrick just described in Batman the Animated Series
style. Yeah, super, super cartoony, and, like, it has a really vibrant feel to it.
Which makes it all the more cutting.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Like that.
So the next two stories are more like race than feminism. One's these two actors, one's Asian, the other's white. They're both, you find out that they're both like auditioning for the same movie. For the same role in the same movie. They're also friends. They get there and the directors are like, oh, we obviously choose the white kid and, the other one can be the stunt coordinator. And like, they're talking about like, oh, maybe we can even CG, the white guy to make him look Asian. And like, they're like, the other guy just won't appeal to the audience. And if you want to talk about blackface, last story. Thanks for this great transition. So we have the last story is called Basic Bitch. It's written by three sisters, actually: Bassie Nyambia, Iyang Nyambia, and Nyambia Nyambia. I'm sorry if I mispronounced those names. And art by Chris Visions. So the story basically opens up with, like, this group of girls going out, and it's very clear very quickly that they're basically, like, appropriating black culture. They got, like, cornrows. They're talking about getting, like, lip and ass implants to, like, get big stuff. The way they talk, you know, they're like, hey, girl, hey, bitch, please, whatever.
When I hear regular women talk like that, I just want to, like, throat punch them, and I don't know what it is. Like, it's just like a trigger.
Yeah, so one of their friends is running late because she's at the beauty salon, and she gets basically this, like, procedure to make her skin black, like, to actually become black. And the place is actually called Shade 50, and there's an advertisement that says, buy two shades, get the third free.
I literally just want to lay on the floor for the rest of this.
So her friends get pulled over earlier by the police, have a conversation. She gets pulled over by the same cop, has the exact same conversation. It's mirrored panel by panel, and the dialogue is the exact same. The cop pulls out his gun, tells her to get out of the car, And then we get the last page, which is this news story of these, like, two very chipper news anchors being like, a black woman was killed earlier today in an altercation with the police. Luckily, both of the officers were unharmed, and, like, go into, like, a big long thing about, like, how the officers have, like, children and a wife and all this stuff. And they're like, well, isn't that great to hear that those guys are safe?
So, yeah, that was. Are we done yet?
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like sitting with an anvil on me right now, and I don't even want to participate.
Yeah.
Like, they're great stories, don't get me wrong, but, like, the seething rage within sometimes, I'm just like, don't let it show. It's yeah, hard. That's... Don't let it show.
That's so much. That's a lot.
It's so much. And they're short, too. They're short. They're, like, eight pages long, and you're like, how can you get all of this stuff in here? How can you make me feel like a terrible person in eight pages and feel like society is just full of similarly terrible people?
That's why I hate the women ones, because, like, the fact of the matter is, like, I can relate to them, and then, like, within my own life, sometimes I can see some of that stuff, and yeah. I'm just like, oh, God!
Bitch Planet is probably the most in-your-face with, like, its feminist and racial, like, ideology, yeah. And they hit the nail on the head so hard, too, all the time. It's spot frickin' on, and... I love it. Issue one is the silhouette of a woman in handcuffs giving two middle fingers out at the people. So, like,
I read the first issue of that, and I'm like, I can't read this series. I will just walk around in a tiny rage bubble for weeks.
Yeah, no, that's basically
tiny rage bubble.
That's basically what happens. If you want to have a good, nice, like, little comic read, like, read your little comic.
Don't magazine, read it.
Do not read Bitch Planet. If you want to contemplate the awfulness of society and the world and, like, where we're headed to.
If you want
to
live in denial like me, don't read it. It's not denial, but it's more like I want to dream that I'm not in this world sometimes, so I read other things.
How even though this comic takes place on in a dystopian future, you're like, wow, our current society is a dystopian, like, future.
Oh, God. Kat, you want to take over this right now? Oh,
God, yes!
So with that transition, what do you have for us, Kat?
Moment. Alright. So, God.
I'm sorry.
It's like horror on another level.
I know, right?
So, I'm going to talk about Jughead the Hunger, an attempt to talk about it, anyways. So, this is a new series that they put out, and it's from Archie's Madhouse. It is not for kids. Not for kids. Not for kids. Not at all. Nope. Mm-mm. So we'll leave with that. So it's written by Frank Terrier, I think is what his name is, and then art by Pat and Tim Kennedy. To me, it felt a little short, which kind of bothered me a little bit. And then, of course, like, just the leading into the story, it felt like, I don't know if this is true or not, whether there's, like, a comic before this, like, a prequel comic before it, just reading it. I don't know if you felt that way, too.
I don't know if Afterlife with Archie deals directly with this storyline. I know that Afterlife with Archie is a book that people really love as a horror take, so I don't know if that's one of the things that happens in that, but I thought that dealt more with zombies, so...
Yeah, I don't know, but...
But it, like, definitely feels like this is part two of
it does, right? Just from the talks of it, it's like, is there a comic I haven't read? But, I mean, it starts out with Jughead, and he's like, you know, they know, these animals know what I am, blah, blah, like, him just dealing with the fact that at the end of the day in this comic, Jughead is actually a werewolf, and it turns out that Betty Cooper is in charge of killing slash maiming slash him just being dead somewhere and not living anymore. So, I don't really know the Archie universe very well, but, like, I feel like the Betty Cooper in this one is a lot more hard-pressed. She's a lot more in your face. Like, whereas, I'm just gonna take it from Riverdale at this point. From Riverdale, she's a very, okay, I'll do what you want, and then as she gets angry and upset, she takes that basically out on herself.
Huh.
So, like, with this one, I feel like, I'm just assuming, and I could be totally wrong, and if anybody wants to correct me, go for it. I will not yell at you. I feel like she's more of a laid-back, oh, you said this to me, it is what it is, I don't care, or I'll just hold it into myself.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, you have Veronica Lodge, who's like, oh,
yeah.
Does she talk to me like that? So, like, seeing Betty like this, like, she just talks massive crap to Archie. Like, it's kind of it's like a reminiscent moment, except it's kind of backwards because Betty Cooper is blonde and Freddie is blonde in Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. Oh. And Daphne just talks shit to him.
The reverse.
Yeah, so it feels like it's weird. So I kept drawing parallels to that and it was odd, but she's just like an outright character. I mean, there is a lot of, there's a lot of gore in this.
Oh yeah, there's one sequence with the aftermath of the werewolf.
I saw that and I was just like, huh. All right, good thing I didn't eat.
Yeah.
And then like you go to the part where you actually at the very end you bump into Veronica and she hits some issues with somebody else and the drawing in this for what. Yes.
Yeah. It's super cartoony, yeah. Like,
but it's so awesome.
Like, the impact that the art has is really, really
good.
Yeah,
but like I said, it felt like it was kind of short. I was like, that was it? Yeah. That's all, what? Yeah. So I wish if it gave like a little bit more, and like I said, I still feel like I'm missing something over here that I don't know about, but I'll take it. I like it. I'm going to read issue two, so
yeah,
I'm stoked. All right.
Cool.
Well, what do you got for us next, Matt?
So my last review will be Angelic number 2 from Image Comics. This is written by Simon Spurrier with art by Casper Wingard. Issue number 1 was just a really great intro into the world where we've utilized animals as weapons of war.
Mm-hmm.
And
biotech weapons.
Right, and then we've left the planet. And so this is kind of the continuation just of the story of mans, which are actually these manatee creatures who are like, they're bubbled in like these metal floating robot suits.
Basically like manatee drones.
Yeah, they're like manatee drones, but they're like mechs almost. And they're trying to find like
some manatee in a mech.
They're trying to help their Mechatee. God. And their god's name is as in A-Y. I really, as this story
is that a pirate?
I think it means I, as in myself, or as in artificial intelligence, AI.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot here it's hinting at what happened before, and I think the name Angelic is going to be important going down the line. There is a statue that Korra and one of the rogue the manatees, are sent to look for more information on how to fix Eye, because Eye is broken. And they get to a statue that kind of is man's ascendants of the animals that have served in war throughout time. And at the top of the pillar is the angel image with the sword downward.
The angel of death, basically.
Yeah, and it starts with war horses and it goes into using war dogs, and then it has the dolphins, which play a huge part in the story as being like the absolute killers. Uh-huh. And yeah, and then it has the monks and their war armor. It's a really like poetic story, and a lot of why did we leave?
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the big unfolding event. It's beautiful too.
I was just gonna say we're bastards, but all
right. Yeah, but that's the thing. Did we destroy everything, or did we die? Like, did the use of animals as weapons actually kill us? Did we? Were their first generation? Did they turn around and obliterate us?
Yeah,
or,
I can say I
but
is this like Wall-E, or is this like The Road?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough. But yeah, I actually
keep
I absolutely
going down them dark paths, Patrick.
Somebody's gotta do it.
I recommend this to anybody who's looking for something different and likes science fiction. It's set on Earth. It's really great world building. I said it before, it feels like Avatar-ish to me, in the same vein of storytelling that is cartoony yet deep. Like, there's a lot of mythology there, and it's a really fun story. Just seeing Korra on her adventure to be something different from her society is good.
You just say that, and I think Avatar anyway.
I know, obviously.
Korra spelled Q-O-R-A.
I was like, wrong line.
Yeah. But two thumbs up on that one for sure. That's a great book.
Yeah, so. It looks really interesting. Cool. Cool. So I guess we all kind of have to talk about Nightwing new order now, issue number 3.
Always.
So I just noticed this.
Are you dressed as Robin right now? Of course we do.
So I just noticed this, actually. That on the cover, I know, right?
Did you not see that? That
the was like subtitle, first thing I saw. The subtitle is Men and Women Were Meant to Walk, Not Fly. That is some heavy stuff. So this issue for me, I really enjoyed the story. The most intense part with me was when Nightwing is just having a dialogue about like him like kind of realizing what he's done.
Yeah.
He's different because he's my son, you know? Yep. And the other guy's like, yeah, and you helped me put away my father. Like, so what is like... This is like really what's interesting to me, because like all this stuff, especially like people, absolutes cannot work in a world where grays exist, because that breaks the black and white down.
Yeah.
And that just cannot exist. And I thought this story was great.
I will say it was like one of those moments in time where I was like, this got to fit.
It is definitely more of an issue for people who love DC. There's some really great, intros and like cameos all around. So with that, I think I'm gonna leave that to you guys.
They threw Batwoman at me, and I was like, "Oh yeah!" So, yeah,
there's a lot of nice hidden gems. Finally seeing Starfire and Dick at the wedding day, you know, was really cool. So I wanted to talk about something that I hit on when I was reading this. That Kim, also associate here at Griffin Games and Comics. She was so hyped on this and talking specifically about seeing Starfire. When I read it, it stuck out to me. There's a lot of police brutality in this story. Like, that's a really, like, it's a big point.
I mean, honestly, a lot of it is just, like, a very fascist society in general.
Well, and it's making that statement. And a lot of times the police violence that we're seeing, there's a lot of race to be... is the big problem in our current society, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, where we're seeing a lot of the police brutality and the violence is gearing in that direction. I thought it was a very interesting choice that the police that is used to send out to find Dick is the Black Green Lantern. It was John Stewart. So the one who is going to be the violent act against Dick ends up being the Black character.
Well, I mean, you can read that a lot. You can read that a lot of ways, because it's like, you know, what's that line in Fuck the Police, where it's like Black police shoving out for the white cop? You know, it's like, it's more of like a mentality of the organization rather than the individual. Yeah.
Well, and I think it is important. It's not done as they could have put Hal in this role. They did it specifically. Like, it's meant to be John Stewart for a reason. So
yeah, that is very interesting.
And then the fact that John still has the ring, so he's still allowed to be a lantern.
Well, because technically he is a human.
True. So he doesn't have any human powers.
Inherently, he doesn't have any powers. However,
he's also been a part of the military as well.
Yeah,
and so it's not shocking to me because he was a military man. Right. And considering the fact that in all reality, the person who started
that made me laugh so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Who started this whole thing, which you come to find out was Batwoman. She's the one who actually built this whole...
organization.
The whole organization from top to bottom. And Dick Grayson just became the face of it.
Yep. And because he did the bomb.
Which, honestly, like, as a Batwoman fan, I can't say that, like, the thing that kind of... Like, in this universe, she seems like a bit more of a caring / jealous person. Not jealous, but, like... I don't know. The Kate Kane that I think of is, I don't give a shit. I do what I want.
Yeah, I think there's still, think like, there's so much of her broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, time. And I think this is an older version of her.
Yeah.
You know, because this is what, like, 20 or 20-ish years, I think, or maybe 30 years almost.
I don't know, is Dick, like, 45, 50?
He seems mid-40s.
Okay.
Mid to late 40s is what I would put him at. But I have no idea. So, like, she would have to be, like, in her 50s at least, like...
Because I picture her as being slightly older than Nightwing.
Yeah. She is. Maybe, like,
I believe she is.
Yeah, so she would like, her early to mid-50s, you know? So, like, I can see that time just having, you know, tempered her down, especially if she's not doing vigilante justice this whole time.
But that was kind of the thing, and the fact is like she, the other part of me too, and I don't know if maybe this is just my whole deal, but I know that she was, her origin story is actually her being kicked out of the military for homosexual conduct. So like the fact that she goes back in this universe, like I don't know if it's just me as, on a personal level, like if I was kicked out for something like that, I'm like, I don't really.
It, there's a bit of like, it's part of her upbringing, you know, like her dad being a general and like being brought up in that.
I think that's what it was. And like I said, it might just be me who would be like, if somebody kicked me out for being who I am, I don't really want to.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that's gone, said and done, but it's still.
The, yeah. I think there's the theme in the Bat universe in general with their characters is that they always have something in their past that they can't get away from. And it always centers around family. And she's always trying to be her father's daughter.
She even hates him, though.
And she does, and that's the thing.
It's so confusing.
But that makes sense storytelling-wise. It's like she's still trying to be her father's daughter and it puts herself into a position of power. I mean, she's an incredibly powerful person in this.
Oh, yeah, universe. She is. And like I said, like the whole thing that I like was the fact of, you know, she set all this up, and it was handed to him, and now he's spitting in the face of it. So I can honestly see, like, she, I know very, like, in a lot of stuff she usually does hold well, like, with her emotions and composure, but that had to have been like one of the founding moments of being pissed off. And just kind of, I was looking at this too, like they're all holding like the American flag on the front of it.
Right.
Her hand is at the top though.
Yep.
And I'm like, that says something. And then of course his is in the middle, but if you look at the pose, he's still at the forefront and where she's still in the background.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's a lot, like this is not a simple comic book. It's easy to read.
Oh yeah.
But it's and then the final page, I mean, dealing with the new looks of the classic Titans.
Right.
One of the things I wanted to see, if you would flip to the last page for me. Sorry, my copy I did not bring for whatever reason. So we assume that's Starfire.
That's my assumption.
She has guns, which means that her powers have been inert. At least that's the reason I get. And so she's kind of like the militarized version of Starfire after the power. So what exactly is she going to think about when this conversation happens next time? And I have to say that Wally West in the black and red is fucking awesome looking. Like, that Flash costume is sweet.
Well, the fact that he, like, throws up and he's like, oh, we were thinking the same thing. I'm like, there it is! I mean, honestly, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm interested to see what other role Batwoman ends up playing in this, if she's going to become the end all, not the end all be all, but the main thing in his way, which is what I'm assuming is going to happen.
Yeah. As this goes on, I get to the feeling that Nightwing is the primary villain in this story.
I don't know. He's looking for his son, and that's just a selfish induced thing, but I wonder if it's going to make him think. It's so open-ended, and like the back of my mind, I'm like, how are you doing this in 6 issues?
Yeah.
How? There's just so much.
Yeah, this issue was fast.
And then even just like adding Batwoman to the mix, I'm just like, what? Yeah. So I keep reading, everybody. Just keep reading.
We talk about it a lot because it is really, well, in conversation, I feel like the same way about Blade Runner 2049. It's like the more I talk about it,
Don't even say the name.
let's not review.
10 minutes later.
But really, the more you talk about it, like the more things you find and see, and the different perspectives are really important in this story. So yeah, I think it's a resounding read Nightwing New Order.
Read it. Just read it. You'll love it.
Cool.
Well, with that, I guess we'll end issue 13.5. So say bye, everyone.
Bye.